next 8-4 Play podcast. And by the way, ho, 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 or as they would say in Japanese, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to you all. To all a good night for joining us here at the only stop on Santa's ride for talk about Japan and games and Japanese games. How'd I do?
That was good.
Yeah?
That was good.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the A4 Play podcast. I am your host, Marky Gamages McDonald. With me for this holiday spooktacular. Oh, wait, that's wrong holiday. First up, my right, stage left, that is Gabe the Plague de Leon.
Hello.
Your hacker alias, the Plague.
The Plague. Yeah. Some stuff went down.
Yeah. It was, I'm running out of aliases from the movie Hackers to use for you. I can't remember. I know I already used Serial Killer, and I already used Zero Cool and Freaker, I think we had for you one time. But this time, you are the character, you are the Fisher Stevens character in Hackers. Okay. Right? Well, he is the bad guy, but he's supposed to be the good guy.
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler!
Yeah, that's true. Well, we regularly spoil that on this podcast, so. But he's the guy who ostensibly is supposed to be there with Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller protecting the Gibson from these terrible hackers that are coming in. And that is your job, right? Can we say that? Do we have security clearance to talk about your...
There.
Oh, it's gotten out there? Okay.
gotten out there on this podcast.
Oh, no, he's been exposed. He's been compromised.
And some big exploit was without getting too into the very boring weeds.
Sure.
Some exploit or something was found, and people can basically come in and look at your web camera and watch you masturbate. Is that what we're talking about, or what are we talking about?
If they wanted to, yes. The name
is that an
the...
invitation, Gabe? Because some listeners to this podcast that
my heart goes out to all the listeners in IT.
Twitter alias coming at the end of the show if anybody wants to take Gabe up on that. But do you want to like briefly tell people what
sure.
been keeping you so busy?
So the name is called Log4Shell from a application called Log4J. The best way I can sort of come up with a analogy is imagine there was a really popular middleware for like RPG games where your battle log was just this middleware you plugged in and then you just sort of left it and let it do its thing. And let's say you could, when you hit a tree, it would say Gaming Jesus has hit the tree with the Sword of Cool for 20 damage. So let's say you change the name of the sword.
Yeah.
Let's say you change the name of the sword to, let's say, some kind of computer command, like launch the webcam.
Ooh, and you force it to execute the code.
And then the middleware sees that log and goes, yeah, sure, I got you.
Delicious. Oh my goodness, how clever.
Now, let's say the popularity of this middleware is somewhere in the neighborhood of Speed Tree in gaming.
Hmm. AKA very explain it as you was a child, Gabe.
It's very so planetary is the scope.
There's a lot of it out there, okay, basically. And so you guys are scrambling.
It's Final Fantasy 14.
So what you're saying, Gabe, is that you had left this giant gaping security exploit in all of your clients' systems and now you're scrambling to make up for it. And fix your terrible mistake before the stock market is affected.
I would call this job security more than conspiracy.
Okay. All right. Are we all safe? If the average listener listening to is at the latest Windows and they run their website off of whatever Squarespace, are they okay or should they be nervous?
Okay. Update your shit and you're good. At this point.
And again, if you need tech support, Gabe's tweet. So Gabe's Twitter, just to recap, watch Gabe masturbating, or tech support. These are the two things that you can contact Gabe at at Gabriel De Leon. Let's see, moving on. Tina Butt Stuff Carter.
Hey.
So there's a very specific reason we should clarify.
We just leave it ambiguous. Let the people wonder.
Moving on. Next up. I mean, it is Christmas. People will get it, right? People will get it.
I mean, if anybody is celebrating a traditional Christmas anymore, they knew before you even said it, right?
Right? I mean, let's be real. Like, what were the pilgrims doing? We know what they were doing. We all know what they were doing. Come on. So we should, we wanted to tackle this head on directly the front. Yes. See, Gabe. See, okay. I was trying to do it in a roundabout way, Gabe, and you just, yeah.
Gabe just goes right for the jugular.
jumps right on top of it. Do you want to explain? This is by your request to acknowledge.
Yeah.
So
there's some internet kerfuffle I need to clarify upon. No, it's fine. So last episode, people who listened to last episode might have noticed that during my introduction part, when we were talking about some stuff about Ocarina of Time, I got beeped.
Hmm.
And the internet was like, why did Tina get beefed? And it became much more of a conversation than I had anticipated that it was.
You don't remember the line, do you, of what it was? Something, something beeps, something, something. Do you remember what the context was?
I do.
So we were talking about, in Ocarina of Time, there's a ghost shop guy.
Yes.
And he says that if he looked like Link, he could run a different kind of business.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And
yes.
So... spoiler alert, put your bets in now for what the thing I actually said was. Counting down in 3, 2, 1.
Wait. Don't say the real line first. Let's do the bleeped version first. Can you say the line with the bleep?
Are we going to edit it in?
We don't need to edit it in, but if either of you remember it, Gabe, do you
I was
remember?
Saying
or
that,
Tina,
like,
you remember? Yeah.
That either means Link is going to have an ear-piercing business or he's going to do bleep.
Ah,
and the bleep
okay.
was put in. Because I just thought it would be funnier if it were beeped. Because you know how sometimes like implied
yes.
profanity is funnier than
Definitely.
Actual profanity?
Yes, yes.
But what ended up happening was instead people were like genuinely concerned. They were like, these guys never censor shit and they're beeping this. What did she say? It must be like really fucking bad. And I was like, oh no,
like,
this is backfired.
Yeah, it wasn't like we didn't have a conversation about it or anything. It was just like,
No. It was
100% funny. Yeah.
It was 100% like I messaged Gabe like, hey, what if we beeped my joke? Because like that would probably be funnier. And he was like, okay. And we didn't really think too much of it.
So
to clarify, the joke that I said was Link could, or if he had a face like Link's, he could either run an ear piercing business or butt stuff. And every time on my Instagram, when I play that part of the game, I put up a poll and I'm like, okay, you guys, does this mean an ear piercing business or butt stuff? And overwhelmingly, butt stuff always wins.
Nice. As it should be. As it should
be. So the mystery has been solved.
Yes. Thank you for clearing. I love that this is like Ben Affleck went on Jimmy Kimmel to like clarify that he wasn't blaming his ex-wife for being an alcoholic. I love that the nature of our clarification, public clarifications are like, when I was talking about the guy in Ocarina of Time,
I was talking
saying,
about butt stuff.
Okay. It wasn't anything big. It was just butt stuff. Nothing par for the course for this podcast. Very, It is amazing though, because I'm trying to think if we've definitely bleeped stuff, but I think only ever because someone's name was mentioned or I don't think we've
or
ever
it was
bleeped
like
profanity.
Stuff that like shouldn't be stuff that like shouldn't be made public, I think.
Yeah, we wouldn't bleep it. We would just cut it out so you never knew it was there in the first place, basically.
Yeah,
so
usually.
I don't think there was much beeping going on.
Certainly no beeping going on with our final regular. This one is more visual. It doesn't really work over a podcast because you just have to imagine it. John equal sign Ricciardi. Which, if you get that reference, plus 10 points to Gryffindor.
No, Gryffindor doesn't deserve that.
I don't get it. Should I get it or no?
You should at least get it. I actually still don't really think I fully understand why this happens sometimes in Japanese or Japanese games, but in Golden Axe, all of the characters are like Axe equals Battler, or Tyra equals Flame, Death equals Adder. No one knows why.
I don't know. Now it's usually a dot, but a lot of times you would see like the equal sign.
Sometimes there's a dot in the middle now. Yeah, exactly. In the middle, not like a period, but a dot in the middle. And it's a very Japan thing. But you are playing a game that I'm kind of fascinated by. And I'm kind of fascinated by the fact that you're playing it. but you're playing Golden Axe Warrior.
I am. I just started it. Like, I literally turned it on, basically. But I'm planning to play it over the holiday break. Golden Axe Warrior is like... So I forgot this game existed.
Yeah.
There's a couple of games.
A lot of people did. A lot of people never knew this game existed because it came out... I think it came out in 1991. For the Master System.
That is right.
So that's... It is a... 2 years after the Genesis was available and, like, what... 4 or 5 years after the Mega Drive, like it was, this has got to be one of the last Master System game. It only ever came out for the Master System, right? It didn't come out for the Game Gear.
No, it's only on the, as far as I know, it's only on the Master System. Yeah. And it's also not really easy to find. I mean, because it was late over there, it did not come out in Japan.
Oh, it didn't.
No, it's a Japanese developed game that only came out in the West.
Wow.
Because if you remember, like, I think well into the 90s, like, Brazil was still like a hot spot for the Master System.
Well, in Europe, I bet it came out in Europe. Yeah.
It was probably for that reason that they even made it. But basically, it's like a Zelda 1 clone.
An unabashed Zelda 1.
Yeah, to the point where, like, when enemies appear, they, like, appear in a puff of smoke, just like in Zelda 1, like, on screen.
Yeah.
I love to play old games during the holidays. What made me think about this game? Like, we were talking about some old Sword of Vermillion came out on the Nintendo Switch Online thing, which is like a first gen, like Genesis action RPG.
Honestly
kind of sucks. Yeah. But I saw it and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I've always wanted to try this. I will check it out. And then in that spun off this thread of like old RPGs and stuff that, and somebody mentioned Golden Axe Warrior. And so looking into Golden Axe Warrior, like I couldn't buy it. Like I can't buy the, cause usually I could just buy an old Japanese version of a game and it's cheap. They're easy to find on like Metacritic and stuff. There is no Japanese version. And so then it was like, oh, well, how do I play this? And it's like the only modern way to play this game is on the Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for like PS3 and Xbox 360.
Whoa.
And it's a hidden game. You have to use magic 10 times in Golden Axe 3 to unlock it.
You have to earn the right to play the game
ever. That is the dumbest shit ever, that they had achievements in certain games to unlock other games. Like, that's a, I mean, at that time, people didn't know what to do with game re-releases and stuff. And so I get that they were trying and that's cool, but like, God damn, that
to be
is
fair,
stupid.
I would agree with you. I generally agree with you. But to be fair, having seen that game now, because I had to do this, that game has a ton of extra shit. Like, some of it's pretty cool, too. Like, interviews with the designers of the old games and stuff. And all this, like, extra stuff. They have, like, an extra section. And all of that stuff, like, unlocks from playing the game. So the point is, like, hey, play these games we put on the collection. And so part of those unlockables were also other games. Because they're not Genesis games. It's a Master System game. So
yeah, but, I mean, come on.
People
figured out that wouldn't happen now, like, right?
I now have played Golden Axe 3 for 20 minutes, which is more than I ever would have played it in my life otherwise. It actually wasn't terrible. It was just Golden Axe.
Like, kick somebody with the horse guy in Golden Axe 3. Golden Axe 3 was a weird...
I used the horse guy, yeah.
Yeah, Golden Axe 3 was a weird game. It used the hell out of scaling. I remember seeing it in the arcade. Pretty cool, but ultimately not as cool. Well, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so I unlocked it and I just, you know, tried it for like 10 minutes. But basically, I'm going to try and give it a go over the break and see.
Did you already have that, Genesis collection, by the way? That you already had that
I did
game?
Not. I oh. ordered it. That's the other... I love buying games here because it's so easy to get anything. Like, Amazon Japan had a brand new copy of the US PS3 version.
What?
Ordered it at like 8 p.m. I had it by like 10 a.m. the next day. Like, it's amazing. And it was like $25. It was so cheap. Yeah, I love it.
Ooh, where is that
I'm talking about
from?
The Genesis collection. Amazon Japan has everything, man. It's great.
The like, US version of it. The PS3
The US
game.
Version in the shrink wrap. Yep.
Warehouse. That was sitting in the warehouse in Tokyo somewhere. This US yeah. PS3. What? That is
Dude, last night I ordered, this is a separate story that I actually do want to talk about also, but I also ordered a Pro Action Replay for the Saturn last night at like 10 p.m.
Oh
and
God.
That's waiting for me at my house right now. So, but anyway, so yeah, I played a little bit of that. I will play some of that over the break. And just to go back to Sword of Vermillion, which is what kicked this all off, I played that for a little while on Switch this week, and I remembered actually, oh, I did play this before, and it sucked. And so I stopped
and
really early.
Good, yeah.
And I think same thing here, like walking around town. So this is one of those games that if you have, there's that, the new Genesis collection, what's it called? Like Genesis Classics or something on the Switch and PS4, like the modern one has fast forward. Mm-hmm. That game needs to fast forward bad because it's so slow. But anyway, so yeah, that all kind of spun me down that retro Sega rabbit hole.
There is a fast forward button. It's called watching double speed on YouTube, which is probably the only way that you should interact with that Ooh. Game. Which, speaking of which, that reminds me, I saw a, for whatever reason, I think somebody tweeted about Funky Horror Band. I think it came out around this time. It was an original Mega CD RPG game, Japan only. And I was like, man, I should watch that intro. I watched the intro to that a million times because I imported a Mega CD and was watching it. And that game had this phenomenon, which early CD games had, where the game itself was like barely even like Master System quality. The game itself was like embarrassingly, ridiculously like caveman painting level, like RPG, the houses, it looked awful, way worse than like even a Final Fantasy game for the NES or whatever. But then it had all of these, like, slapped on top of that, it had all of these like actual recorded, like live performed music, which was new at the time because it was CD, and it had like almost anime, you know, animating cutscenes. And like that was good enough. People were like, I mean, not that Funky Horror Band set the world on fire or anything, but it was like good enough for it to be a first party launch game from Sega. And there were a bunch of those games like Dragon Slayer for PC Engine. Like PC Engine had a lot of those games too. That was like, the game is awful, super just bare boned, but they put all this stuff into the actual, the CD part of it. And people were like, happy to get it. That was enough to carry it for
a while. Just looking at Funky Horror Band. So I never played this. I mean, I was aware of it.
But, amazing. It's
but it
amazing.
Looks like it has that like kind of classic. What was that old Japanese TV show that Game Boy Jason and I always used to watch?
Ugo Ugo Taco,
Ruga? No, what?
Not Ugo Ugo Ruga.
No. It was like the taco, like the one with the like.
Kure Kure Takura. Yes.
It has that kind of like bizarre,
disturbing,
like,
slightly
costumed,
yeah,
look to it. Like to the point that I kind of want to just go on YouTube and watch the videos for this game.
You should. You absolutely should. You could probably buy it for 10 yen too, by the way. Like it was the one that I would always see. I bought it like 4 times for 10 yen just to be able to have the CD, and then I would lose it and then just get it. Cause you could listen to the Red Book audio. The music is terrible and amazing in both at the same time, just like early 90s Japanese like shit rock, I'll call it. I'll just make up a genre called shit rock. Where they're singing in Japanese and then every once in a while they're like, Atlantis of my heart, like out of nowhere. It's like, wait, what? I just hear what that was. Funky
Mark,
Horror Band, look it
spot.
Up. Look it
live,
up.
Live on the show. I am buying it right now.
How much?
For 880 yen.
Oh man, that's a mint.
Damn, premium
skyrocketed in value. Yeah,
It's in great shape too.
This is good.
Endocarditis is a drug.
I want to actually drill into this, John, because you have. So we've talked at length about your big move that you went back and facilitated over the summer. Your move of how many? It was a lot of boxes. Didn't want to disclose how many boxes it was at the time? I think because
I didn't know.
Let's explain that now. Explain why.
Wait, are we in a safe situation now? Is it okay?
Yes.
Is enough time passed?
All of my children are here with me.
The UPS driver's not gonna look up your address again and track you back. No,
I made the delivery guy wear a blindfold and I spun him around three times.
Yeah, I honestly didn't understand at the time. You stopped me, or if we could edit it out. I don't remember what we did, but you adamantly didn't want to say how many crates, how many boxes it was. And I couldn't imagine why. What is the problem? Are you embarrassed about it? Why would he be embarrassed about it?
No.
Explain
why. You understand now, right? I mean, yeah, so I kind of. What happened was over the summer. So everybody knows I post these things on Twitter once a year and people always go nuts about it. But I have a very large stash of old games that, just built up over the years. Most of it is from my time in the press back in America. And I just had so much shit that it was too much to bring with me when I moved to Japan. So I had it basically in storage, in safekeeping for literally 20 years. And I finally had to go back and move it for reasons. And so I went through the process of shipping it all to Japan. 21 crates of extremely, precious to me,
Well, now, games and games now and very valuable. And very valuable stuff.
I don't even want to guess what the value of that shipment was. Did but you that's not why have I didn't to write that, talk about it at all.
Did you not
I
have did, to write that max, down on you, customs form?
I did, but there's a max limit that you can put for insurance, and it is worth way more than the max limit. So was nothing.
What
so
was the max limit?
Cross my fingers. The max limit was $20,000 or something like that. It was not high enough.
Even for 20. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so I just crossed my fingers. You know what I thought? If it doesn't make it here, or I don't know, something bad happens, and it just wasn't meant to be. But
Whatever.
No, it got here.
That's way more zen than I think you would have been.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
What can I do?
It did. I mean, you could piss and shit and moan and fucking regret it for the rest of your life.
I took enough pictures of everything that at least I have the photographic memories. What am I going to do? So. But it's here. Yeah. It's with me now, and it's all safe, and everything was in perfect shape, thank God. But so I started.
So it made it all very safely, no dinged box
perfectly.
Corners.
And in fact, they I was very careful to pack everything extremely meticulously, bubble wrap the hell out of everything, even the inside. I lined the inside of every box with bubble wrap. I went hardcore. We are not messing this up. And it was perfect. Yeah. They actually opened two boxes, to check them. And they were literally the two, least valuable things I had. It was a box of just old books or something. And cause it's not all game stuff. Some of it was just my personal shit too.
Okay.
But then I don't know, some other thing that was just completely worthless. So, Yanya
Cabalista, doubles and triples.
Right. Exactly.
Mint in box.
I'm not going to unpack a lot of it because I just don't have room to put stuff.
Is all that now? It's
I'll send you the coordinates.
If it's not in a secure place, then I guess we should not say
it is in a secure place. But I'm not going to say where it is anyway.
So we shouldn't tell everybody that it's in the garage behind my house.
Yeah,
should we cut this part out?
This might
Deep
be
Saitama.
The plot to the next Ocean's movie, as the people evade all of the laser fucking traps and shit to get your mint copy of Aria of Sorrow or whatever.
I did open one box yesterday though because I wanted to get out the Saturn, my old Saturn, because that's another thing I want to kind of tool around with over the holidays.
So this surprises me that your first. So you have you have 21 boxes. All this shit that you haven't seen, I mean, except for briefly while you're back in the States, but you didn't have enough time to play it. You had to pack it. Yeah. It surprised me that the first thing that your kind of go-to thing was Like, did you think about this before you went into it? Or did your first thing was Saturn kind of surprised me?
So my US Saturn games are like probably the thing that I haven't touched in the longest time, because I have a lot of, you know, I have most of the good ones that I, you know, wanted to own, but I literally haven't touched them since the 90s. And so, you know, I'm not going to hook up a Saturn and everything when I go home to visit and stuff. And so like, I just haven't had a chance. And so, this is a very Sega themed thing for me, I guess, this week, but like, I'm also playing Shining in the Darkness.
Yeah, you're on like a Sega kick the last couple months, I feel like.
I'm filling in blanks, basically, because like there's a lot of old Sega stuff that I didn't finish when I was younger that I, you know, because I came onto Genesis a little bit late, like, you know, I mean, I bought my first Sega system in order to write my first professional paid review. Like, I got paid to review Shining Force CD, and I didn't own a Genesis, so I bought it a CDX.
Wow.
So, like, you know, my Genesis, whatever you want to call it, saga started kind of late.
Yeah,
I was always envious, and I borrowed my friends on occasion and stuff. It's not like I hadn't played stuff, but anyway, so yeah, I'm playing Shining in the Darkness, and I'm really digging it. And you know, there's also the kind of sequel to that, right? Shining the Holy Ark on Saturn, which I also own, and I kind of want to play that too. And that just got me into like, okay, well, I'm going to grab my Saturn games on my Saturn and pull them out of the box.
So I'm kind of surprised, just to hit on Shining in the Darkness briefly. The first screenshots I saw of Shining in the Darkness, shit my pants, because in a good way, in a good way,
the good pants shitting,
because the dungeons looked like Phantasy Star, and I'm like, oh my god, yes, except better. That the enemies and the character designs looked amazing. It's that, I don't know who that is, but it's the Climax, the person who did
Sonic Software Planning and like Climax Entertainment, the like Landstalker dudes.
So that, and then, I mean, everything looked amazing. And then like the finished product, I couldn't get into at all. Cause like there's no overworld to that game, right? It's just a map, and you just go straight to dungeons and then straight back to town. And like, for some reason that like killed it for me. It wasn't like as epic as I thought it was. No. And then the dungeons didn't look as good as I thought like Phantasy Star did. And I don't know. I just kind of fell apart. But I'm surprised to hear that it's kind of holding up. It seemed like one of those games that wouldn't hold up.
I love it, man. I'm surprised. I mean, I for the same reasons that you probably got excited back then, I was always kind of interested in this game because I love first person dungeon crawlers, and I kind of like the general vibe, and I also like those same developers that you're talking about, the Landstalker guys, the Shining Force guys. But I'm surprised at how good it is. Like, I really dig. It's hardcore. Like you know, the fortunate thing about playing this now is that, and I don't have any guilt about this at all, is I could pull up the maps on my phone while I'm playing, because like otherwise you basically have to have graph paper. You have to have graph paper and a pencil.
It was a graph paper game, right? Yeah.
You will never finish this game without, because the maps are tremendously huge and just full of stuff. And so, you know, basically I have my phone and I have the maps, and then I'm kind of playing through it. And also I'm playing it on Switch on that Genesis collection I was talking about. And you can fast forward, which is nice too. So that like, while I'm in a battle where I know what I'm going to, I put all my commands, and then I could just boop, hold the button down and zip through it. Makes the game like a lot more playable.
I love the aesthetics so much. Like, I love the character designs, the monster designs, the villages, all the icons, how it uses, you know, icons for everything.
The same as Shining Force, basically.
Yeah. It's very cohesive. Like, I loved everything about the look of it. It just, I couldn't get in. I hated that the enemies too didn't animate. I thought that they would,
interesting for the time, where like, you know, they sort of just show up all over the screen. Like, you can have like five enemies and they're not going to be side by side. Like, they're like right behind each other or like
right
spots and stuff.
Right.
But it's really,
it's like a wizardry. It's like a Bard's Tale or a wizardry.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
More than like a Phantasy Star or a Final Fantasy.
Are you using Genesis controller, John?
No, because I could be, but I'm mostly playing handheld mode, so I'm not playing on a TV so much. But I did use the Genesis controller when I played through Shining Force, and that was really nice. But yeah, no, I'm like probably, I don't know, halfway through it. It is a long game, and it is a super hard game, but the fast forwarding is making it, I think, tolerable for me. And obviously, like I said, I have the maps, so I'm just happy to be able to go through it. And then I want to play the Saturn one maybe a little more seriously. I don't know. Did they add maps for that, like AutoMap or whatever? Or do you have to do the graph paper thing again? I don't even know. But
yeah,
we'll see. But so I busted out my Saturn. I want to talk about this too, if you don't mind. But so my day one Saturn, which I've told the story before, but like they surprised announced Saturn when I was at E3.
It's a US Saturn, black box.
US Saturn, okay. May 11th, 1995. Like Tom Kalinske is like, it's out today. And I'm like, holy shit. And I left the conference at the end, went to a payphone, because that's what you did back then, called my brother and was like, go to GameStop. It was EB at the time. Go to EB and get one. And sure enough, he did. I still have that Saturn. It's got a Switch installed so you can go between Japanese and English. And I set it up cool. And I was all excited to play it. And the laser does not recognize games, which turns out is a very common thing with consoles of that era at this point. It's happening more and more.
It worked when you last had it. It worked
in the 90s. Yes.
It just sitting there in a box. It just stopped working.
Yeah. Okay. It still works. But what it does. So Saturns have this thing where do you remember Saturn's interface? Like it would show up with like a keypad and like play audio discs. That appears, and you can even play the audio off the discs, but the laser, I think the laser is like not, it's either dirty or it's not fast enough or something happens where it doesn't recognize it as a game. And so.
That's weird that it can play the audio, but not play the game.
Right? But it's this thing.
Right.
And I'm not even getting too deep into this, but this sent me down a separate rabbit hole last night of like people on Twitter telling me like these devices that are out now, I am out of touch, man. There are these like CD drive emulators that you could buy now.
Yeah, yeah.
That with like an SD card slot, and they will essentially like you could put games in the thing and play like the real game. It's not emulated, but the drive itself is emulated.
Right, right. Yeah, it's basically replaced the. It's fooling the machine into thinking that its card is the CD, but otherwise is working exactly the same as the CD system. Yeah. So basically, it's taking the one part of the system that can fail.
Right.
Because and making of it essentially age fail-proof. And making it where,
But I still have a Japanese Saturn, though, that works fine. And someone else on Twitter very kindly pointed out that there's an action replay for Saturn that doubles as a RAM cartridge and the memory cartridge to, like, save your shit, and will just automatically play imports. And so I'm just going to use that. I bought that yesterday. It's waiting for me now.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I'm just going to use that to play the US games over the break. So
yeah, that cartridge port was the gateway to a lot of, for better and for worse, like a lot of piracy. And I think they've done amazing things with that now, where it's just like every cartridge that you would have ever had to have and 20 other things you don't even need are just all in one cartridge now.
Totally. But I swear I love Japan for so many reasons, but really the convenience is just striking to me. Like, so last night on the way home, on the way home from work yesterday with plans to like, you know, try out the Saturn stuff, I realized like, hey, maybe I don't have a memory card. I should go on Metacritic and buy one. You know, memory card being the old cards. I actually did have one, but I just forgotten. And I saw one for like $12. So I ordered that. And then like, I'm like, oh, you know what? The battery's probably dead. Walked at the convenience store, can buy the Saturn, you know, the battery that they use in the Saturn right there, like super easy for like, you know, $5 or whatever.
Right.
Came home, replaced the battery. Like all of this, like from thinking to like having shit in your hand is just like such a short process here. And I love it.
Well, especially Tokyo. Especially within Tokyo, like we're spoiled.
No, totally. Yeah. So I'm really excited about the holiday break. That's, you know, every year it's like playing old games. And I think just sort of, it brings you back to your childhood on one hand, but also I just have some free time for a change, and that's what I would do if I had more free time, you know?
Exactly, so, yeah.
I'm excited for it.
Speaking of free time, Gabe, you finished Final Fantasy XIV. You're, like, raiding now? What happens now? You're into the quote-unquote endgame content? Or, I don't know, educate me. I know nothing.
Finished the story last weekend. Really good. Had a good time. Now we're at the sort of post game level, all your jobs to 90, raid.
Gabe.
Hi.
Did you cry? Did you cry in the ending?
Oh, plenty of times. I've got no shame about that.
For real?
Yeah. Plenty of times.
Okay. How many times?
I can think of immediately twice. And I definitely got choked up a few times. that didn't get me crying.
What's funny to me here is not Gabe's crying. It's Mark's absolute disbelief that the genuine answer to his question was yes.
I'm not sure if he's just playing along, or I just want to make sure. No. So is this like a
people have emotions, Mark? People feel feelings.
Was this like a lone tear? Did you just notice that it was coming down your cheek, or was it like ugly, like sobbing, like outright, like put your head down?
No ugly cries. Got choked up a bunch. A couple of like duo trio tears here and there.
Wow. Okay, yeah. that's legit. Wow.
Yeah. The thing is,
I'm gonna play that over the break too.
All I'll say is that they do such a good job of earning their moments when they happen, and it's deeply satisfying.
And were you doing this with a party when you finished it, or alone?
The
were you playing with other people.
No, the final encounter stuff is it's split. So part of it is with other people, and then the last part is not. So
mechanically. Spoilers, yeah. Gabe. You gotta.
They did some stuff in those encounters that I was like, yeah. What? I mean, okay, mechanically, well, not like story.
We can't talk about that yet. Yeah,
I mean mechanically, not story.
So okay, it sounds like full throated, enthusiastic, like endorsement of it. They stuck the landing, A+ awesomeness, everything so far.
Yes, there were some sort of gameplay stuff that I wasn't hot on, but the actual experience of the expansion pack is A+.
Okay. And you've been able to get on still. We talked about this last podcast, but like still no problems at all.
Yeah. John and I are.
I haven't had any problems either. Yeah. I've been on a bunch because I'm still playing the previous expansion.
This is so crazy. So we don't really have news this one, but if we did, we would talk about that they basically stopped selling. This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this. And like, respect to them for this move, but it's also like kind of a brilliant PR move that it's like, okay, our servers are too crowded. People are still having to wait to get on. They're extending because you have to pay a subscription.
Yep.
Monthly subscription. They're extending the free period because they feel bad because people can't get on. And they're stopping sales of the new like starter pack for people who've never played the game before, right?
Yeah.
On all platforms or just on certain platforms, or how does that work?
Not clear to me, but they've stopped the sale of the digital.
I think it's all platforms.
So is it all?
Okay.
Okay.
The digital. Right. Well, they're not.
I think so.
Okay. But that is like unprecedented. I mean, there's only a few games that are games as a service that could do this or would do this, but like, normally it's like, yeah, it sucks. We're way too popular, right? Oh God, it sucks, guys. You can't see, but I have like a huge smile on my face. Like, keep writing stories about how it's so crowded and you can't get on because it's so popular and awesome, our game.
Yeah, they actually had something similar, I want to say last year, where they ran out of digital codes on their storefront and actually had to like, we are so sorry, we'll spin up some more, but like we there was a spike last summer.
They wanted
something
to spin up servers before they spun up codes, or why? Like, why?
No,
would
they
had, that
they just
ever
didn't have enough. There was a spike in demand, and they just didn't have enough codes generated. So they like said, "Okay, give us like a day, and we'll give you guys more codes to buy and play."
I think the meme was just more successful than anyone really anticipated it would be. The meme just got out of control. They didn't know how to react.
I feel like it's a very Japanese thing to do, to say, you know what, we're going to stop the, I don't think Western, certainly not an American developer or publisher would be like, oh, we're so sorry, we're actually going to stop selling the game because we can't spin up more servers and people.
You know, it's probably as much for that as the fans as it is for their like support team. You know, their support teams were like super overloaded. There was constant like like when you log in, there are messages about how responses will be delayed and blah blah blah. So it's probably as much for them as it is for anyone else. They also said, like, as part of that announcement, so I think the other two big things that came out of it One is, I think, if I didn't read this wrong, because I only read it once, they're kind of predicting that this will be solved by like the end of January, or at least start to be solved by the end of January.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. There's a timetable on it, at least.
The servers and things coming through, yeah. And the other thing was that, the other thing was that they also stopped advertising the game. Like, they said that some ads are, they because of the way they were set up, they can't stop them. But otherwise, like, what they can stop advertising, they're going to stop advertising. So they're like, they're trying not to tease people, essentially, too, with something, you know, the forbidden fruit that they cannot get. That's pretty hardcore. So if you already own the game and you want to upgrade or whatever, you still can. But if you
can't
get in, like, the
you're just a new person who might hear about it and be like, hey, which is actually kind of, yeah, it's kind of taking responsibility to be like, yeah, all these news stories are being written about how it's popular, and that might make the problem worse for the existing people because more people are like, hey, what, is it that cool? Okay, maybe I better check this out. But I mean, it sounds very, you know, richly deserved, and I don't know enough about the problem to say if they should be handling it better. It still blows my mind that you just literally, like, the servers just don't exist for them to buy and spin up, but you know, that's what people are saying, so I'll take their word.
The corona like after effects or whatever,
it's COVID, also, you know, like also it's a 10-year-old game, like it's still has server architecture and stuff from 10 years ago in there, so like I'm sure. And they've talked about this a couple of times where, like, they hit the technical limitations because, like, it was a PS3 game at one point when they try and do all the console patching and stuff. Like, they regularly are, like, coming up against the, like, ooh, we're actually, like, we're going to have to build around this in order to keep going.
That was the origin story of the polygonal grape bunches. R.I.P. the grape bunches.
I saw people talking about that, but I didn't want to read into it because I don't know exactly what it's about, but I don't want to know until I'm caught up.
Don't spoil yourself on the grape bunches.
Well, no, the grape bunches are gone now, so you won't see it anyway, my dude.
Yeah, but I mean, I know they're gone, but I don't know the whole story, and I kind of don't want to until I'm caught up because it's just one of those things. I'm pretty close to finishing the previous expansion now. We'll probably finish it maybe this weekend. I don't know. So, like, I'm close. Good chance. Like, I'm so close that I can. You know how, like, you kind of protect yourself from spoilers, right? We have to do this a lot in Japan because movies come out first in the West and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
are you on a Spider-Man, currently on a Spider-Man embargo? Did you add some Twitter mute terms, John?
I didn't, but I'm just,
really?
Like, as soon as if I see the, like, red mask, I look away. Like, I'm like, just like, I'm good at avoiding stuff if I start to see it.
Okay.
I muted James Milky. Sorry, Milky. I think I undid it, but like, I muted him at first because like, he had to get on and like just start talking about it like right after he saw it, and it's like, okay, he always likes to spoil shit.
Spoiler prone, yeah.
And I know he means well, but I didn't want to know anything about it. So
right.
Because, you know, we got to see The Matrix here early. It came out like 5 days before the rest of the world. And like I try to take care not to say anything that's gonna, you know, upset people. But anyway, with Final Fantasy, I'm doing that too. Like I'm very excited to read all the stuff everyone else read like 6 months ago, like when they announced it. They had all these interviews and what's the game going to be and this, that, and the other thing. I don't know any of that shit. So I'm going to start there, but I'm not there yet because I got to catch up.
Are you going to play over the break? Have you been playing?
Oh yeah.
You're catching up before you go into the new expansion.
Yep. I've got 18 quests left in Shadowbringers before we finish like the main expansion. And then
that sounds like a lot.
I mean, each expansion is about 100 quests or so, give or take. And so we're like, you know, 4/5 of the way through. And then there's like in between quests too, which is like another probably 50 or I don't know how many there are. But so we've
that
got a little
like
ways
a
to
lot.
Go yet. But
yeah.
Tina, would you ever dabble? Have you ever dabbled in an MMO? Would you ever dabble in an MMO?
The most MMO dabbling I've ever done was when I got a bunch of the World of Warcraft 10-day trial discs. Like someone just gave me a handful of them. I was like, here you go. And I was like, cool. And over the winter break, like 1 year of college, I guess, I just like did the first couple of quests in a bunch of different races just to see what it was like. And I was like, this is not for me, but okay. And it was neat. But like, it gave me enough knowledge to know that MMOs are not a thing that I really want to fuck with.
Right.
And it also taught me that the anybody who played WoW as a human, I felt really bad for them because their introductory quest sucked ass. It was like when you're, I remember like the night elf one was like, you know, go into the forest and find some spooky poison mushrooms and like go kill a thing. And you like got to do stuff. And the human one, I feel like this is fully, you know, old memories. So I might be completely wrong now, but I feel like it was, you know, there were two neighbors and like neighboring farms and they had the huts for each other, but they were too shy. And it was like, go tell Bobby this, that, and the other thing. And then you went and told Bobby what Becky said. And then you're like, hey, Becky thinks you're cute. And Bobby's like, oh shit, take her this pork pie that I made as a sign of my love. And like, you had to go back and forth between these farms so these people could fuck later.
I love the idea that World of Warcraft characters are named Bobby and Becky. I've seen your hour counts though, Tina, as being a Switch friend of yours. Like, and I feel like you somewhere deep down you have the personality. I mean, you play Pokemon Unite for like 100-something hours already, right? You're over the 100-hour mark.
Dang.
Yes, and like Animal Crossing is like, I don't even know if you want me to say how many hours you've played.
Oh,
like,
light it up, my guy.
I'm pretty sure it's over 700, and so like.
Holy
you know,
shit!
I feel like
that's a lot since we checked
I think
in.
You're, yeah, and I was like, wait, let me look at other friends and see if you know they're like this too. And sure enough, I have some people who are like 1,400 hours, like 1,600 hours. Like, people still play that game every day since it came out. But yeah, like I just thought, given you're into like obviously committing yourself to these games, like I thought you might be, you know, perfect for something like
yeah,
that.
The thing that I don't like about MMOs is that I have to deal with other people. And the screen is just fucking full of shit all the time. Every time I see a screenshot of Final Fantasy XIV, there's like a bazillion things happening on the screen at the same time. And I'm like, I don't care about 90% of that shit. There's a chat, turn it off. There's notifications, fucking turn them off. There's icons showing what all of my different moves are. I fucking turn them off.
You could play
I'll
it
learn
like-
it.
Like Gabe does pointlessly as a single player game, you know, like
it's most
shut out the outside world.
But the big thing, like MMOs are supposed to be,
yeah,
multiplayer experiences,
oh,
right?
Know.
So
I
like,
yeah,
I would argue
a weirdo.
That they are not for me.
Well,
I would rather sit down with a 4-disc, 80-hour PlayStation 1 RPG and just fucking bang on that for weeks. Like I would rather do.
I would my riposte to that, Tina, is you exclusively play Pokemon Unite solo or with me and lose a lot. So like,
are you implying that I lose a lot alone as well? Because that's
no, I'm implying
true.
That I lose. I'm implying I'm dragging you down. So like, I play Final Fantasy predominantly as like a by myself. There's multiplayer stuff, yeah, but those are just NPCs to me. When we join up in a dungeon, like we say hi to each other and then
that's
it.
That's deep, man. That's deep.
No, nah, man.
Whoa.
People have like
other
bars
players are really
floating
just
over
NPCs.
Their heads.
Yeah, like if the MMO gameplay didn't do anything for you, this is probably not going to change your mind.
Tina, maybe .hack would be a good. You could get into
there
a game
go.
That is single
yeah.
player. But it's multiplayer simulation. And that would be your like airlock game.
Wait, why would I want to simulate an activity that I don't want to do?
I don't know.
You don't have to do the part that you don't like. You know, you can get all the other good parts of it without the people.
Because Gabe is crying tears of joy, Tina. You're not experiencing.
I already watched the ending. I've already spoiled it. 10 years of lore,
right.
And I've spoiled
that's
it
right.
for myself.
You skipped ahead. I forgot about that last time.
Yeah, I watched it, and it meant absolutely nothing to me. And I was like, okay,
like committing a crime.
I also just like that, like in Final Fantasy XIV, you're not a mass murderer. Like all the main story quests, very rarely are you going killing things.
You have to kill
other...
20 beavers to get
not
20
really.
Beaver pelts.
Wait, are you telling me that I have to go back and forth between Bobby and Becky's houses and tell them that they've got the hots for each other? Because I'm not about that, Gabe.
And I'm sorry. You ain't about it. You ain't ready for the 14 life.
I don't think it's for me. I'm not allowed in anyway. It's a locked clubhouse now.
That's for now.
So... Okay, I think that's good enough for our Final Fantasy
okay.
check-in. I have to admit that it is working on me, like hearing about the quote unquote problems that are all being brought on by the popularity. But I have no illusion that I would ever have enough time to even like scratch the surface of that game. But it does have me more interested to like. I like watched a couple videos and things that I wouldn't normally have done. Don't get me wrong. If I was in college or even like single, just had a shit ton of time somehow, some way, I think I could definitely, I did dabble in 11. I think I could definitely fall deep into 14, especially if other people, I'm the opposite of you, Gabe, though, and you, Tina, whereas to me, it's, I only want to play with other people. I don't want to play by myself, like picking 50 turnips and turning them in and it giving me pies to Bobby and Becky and that shit.
I could care less.
But exactly. If I could do it while just we were hanging out and like learning about how the systems work, and I guarantee raiding, I think I would super get into. You just went Gabe, but is that because you're not? That's a necessarily social activity.
There's two tiers of it. Of just like there's the hey, you know, let's do this and bang it out in like 20 minutes. Or there's the like, no, come here Saturday 3 p.m.
We are
going to focus and
Don't you have to do the latter in order to beat the more advanced, like real deal good loot stuff?
Yeah, but that is total bragging rights. Like you don't get bonus story. You don't like you getting that gear doesn't mean like it's window dressing for the achievement itself. Like
I mean, it's an internet way to say, look at me, I have friends.
Yeah.
But that's all the internet is. So what are we doing here anyway? Like, why are we doing this podcast if not for that? No, but seriously, like don't just dismiss that, because that is a really cool, satisfying part of Monster Hunter, of you know, so many Destiny, so many games.
Totally.
Should we talk about the game awards besides our recap last time? Our prediction slash recap.
We'll get it one of these days.
It was on during the day, during the work day. So I kind of had it on the side while meetings and stuff were going on. But
same.
I looked at I have some highlight live blogs to kind of run through some stuff. I think it's worth hitting on some things. Starting with the pre-show, Tunic, I thought Tunic has looked awesome really since the start, but I thought especially this latest trailer looked really fucking good. I'm particularly curious, John, did you see the new trailer? The new Tunic trailer?
No, I didn't. And not out? Like, I guess.
No,
I
they announced a date like... finally. They've been talking about it for a long time. They announced a date. It's March, I think. You in particular should watch this newest trailer. They zoom out. They show a part where they zoom out and it shows the map. And it's like very like kids who grew up playing NES games. It looks like a instruction booklet. And there's like little illustrations of the different enemies. And like it looked a really cool aesthetic. It has this like pretend language. I don't know how it works.
Screens
but
of it now. It looks really nice.
The latest,
I should say, I didn't get to watch basically anything on the Game Awards because that was the day that I had to go.
Oh yes, you're getting sandblasted.
I got a kidney stone blasted to hell, which is great because it's gone now. But so as a result, thank you. We're planning to watch, actually. There's a bunch of trailers that I'm really interested in that I haven't watched yet, and so we're going to watch them over the break because no one wants to watch them, too.
Okay.
This wasn't one of them, but now that you mentioned this, I will definitely watch this, too.
No, start with the pre-show. In the pre-show, so make sure you start with the pre-show. That one, when I saw it, you in particular, I thought of. I think you were going to really dig it. So
awesome.
It looks real cute.
They did do some awards in the pre-show. Life is Strange True Colors won the game for Impact. Reddit's favorite game was I think it's like the People's Choice or whatever award, Resident Evil Village. Excuse me. King of Fighters 15 had a new fighter they showed off, I think. Wow, this recap I'm reading, I'm not gonna say who it's from because it's just like trying to be super snarky and really light on the information. So I'm gonna switch to a different
gotta have a zinger
recap here. Yeah, it's just like, okay, guy, I don't like want to just see all your stupid jokes. Although this one's not in chronological order, so we'll just hit different things randomly. Cuphead Delicious Last Course new trailer is fucking amazing.
And a great performance leading
up
to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
They had like a simulated, I think, performance. I don't think they were really singing. Is that scandalous? I think they were lip syncing, but it was.
You don't think they were really singing?
Watch it. Watch it closely. I don't think they were really singing.
I believe in professionals. I believe in the power of professionals.
Yeah. But that was really cool. And the aesthetic of that trailer is fucking amazing. Those guys just are so good at doing what they do.
Totally.
Game looks awesome too, but like I was blown away by the trailer itself. So Slitterhead, SH.
Yes.
Brought to you by the people. Yeah. New horror game from the creator Silent Hill, Toyama-san.
Oh, I didn't even get the SH thing.
I didn't either until somebody else pointed it out. Because it's a little weird. It's Slitterhead, okay?
I know.
It's a little, like, bizarre. On the edge of something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It looked kind of a CG trailer, which, whatever. It's a game announcement. They haven't been formed that long, so I'm excited. It looked fucked up, and scary.
Original Silent Hill creator and Siren creator, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Toyama-san.
Let's see. Lord of the Rings Gollum. New trailer. Still no release date. PUBG Battlegrounds going free to play. Some of these I can skip. There was a new Warhammer game that actually looked... I'm not like super into the Warhammer aesthetic, but it looked pretty cool, I have to say. Give it up. Our friends in Europe maybe more excited about that one. Forspoken is out May 24th. There was another new trailer for that. Parts of that game continue to look astounding, like graphically just like blown away, amazing. And then parts of it look more just like, okay, yeah, that's a modern like third-person game. But then, yeah, parts of it are just like, holy shit, how is this game working? John, new Genshin Impact trailer. You'll want to mark that one on your calendar. Some new dollies for you to dress up.
I'm on Genshinity leave for the moment.
Oh my goodness.
I'm taking a break. Yeah, I got very far in that game. Like, I mean, I'm almost not quite caught up, but I was almost caught up. But I just got to be, I don't know. I needed a break, so I took a break. I'll go back to it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. But
okay.
Yeah. Maybe the arrival of FF14 was like, okay, I only have enough room in my life for one of these crazy times.
Sure,
things.
Sure. Rumbleverse got announced. Epic is publishing. That's from...
Iron Galaxy, right?
Iron Galaxy, right. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant idea. It's basically like fighting / wrestling Fortnite. Which maybe I could see it as a like being incredibly popular as like a Fortnite plugin, but Epic is the people to make it a popular game one way or the other. They had a beta afterwards, and I was watching it, and people are just like body slamming people off of buildings, and shit like that. It looks just like cool. A lot of fighting game community people, I guess, had access to it before the beta, and they were all on Twitter saying it's legit and really good. Oh, some friends of ours worked on that too. John, I don't know if Craig Cuyaba, I guess, has been on that for
awesome.
A while. Our old EGM alumni.
Yeah. My old roommate.
Yep. Yeah. Oh. Shouts out to Craig and to IG. Best of luck with that game. I'm really interested to follow that. I like watched some streams of it and stuff like that, just because it seemed like a cool, fun way to watch a battle royale. Matrix Awakens, they finally took that thing live, which we kind of knew they were going to do on PS5, Xbox Series. Gabe, you checked that out? I watched it stream, but didn't really.
It literally made me sick.
I played it on PS5.
It made you sick? Oh, the motion, you got
like,
motion
I literally, sick. Yeah, like going through that initial chase sequence, I like started to feel weird. And then when I finally got to the exploration mode, I was like, I think I need to put this down.
Huh.
And then I turned off the game and looked up, and all of a sudden I was just like, whoosh, you got to go lie down, get some water.
Yeah, Noah got sick watching me play it, too.
So oh, you're kidding.
It's that kind of game. Yeah. Mark, you haven't played it yet?
Maybe an uneven frame rate. No, I watched.
Dude, you need to check it out, man.
I watched it. It's done. I mean, it's like a freaking
It's a tech.
I got out of it what you get out of it. But some of the most amazing graphics that I've seen, period, on anything. Like, it looked ridiculous at times.
It looks like so good. And I know, Gabe, you had mentioned brief when we were chatting that you saw some performance issues, but like, I played it on PS5 and I did not see much of that. It was pretty amazing the whole way through. And I two takeaways from that. One thing was just that, like, you know, it was interesting that they did like what I typically don't like, which is like the first part is like a kind of a quick time event thing, basically. But like,
yeah,
it was still, and you kind of knew it was scripted to some degree at least, but it was still really fun to do because it just looked so good.
Well, you could shoot, you're talking about the part you could shoot things at will and it would change what would happen.
Right.
But yeah,
like, to a degree, but I didn't try it more than once.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there are multiple.
When cars would explode would change, and like if you shot a guy or a car, that would change. But like, yeah, no matter what, it's kind of like
it was like Virtua Cop. Exactly. It's not like a modern Virtua Cop, and it was really cool in that sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing, and this is a cool feeling, and this is so nerdy, and I'm sure people who play more, I guess, open world games than me maybe have already found this, but like flying felt like when you fly in your dreams. I don't know if you ever fly in your dreams, but like to me, I was like, holy shit, this is what happens in my dream, and what am I going to do? And the first thing that I did, I was like, I want to look inside the buildings. Like, if I could fly, probably now I know, if I could fly through a city, I would just look in buildings. Because it was cool. You can go up to, unfortunately, most of the insides of the rooms are, like, essentially the same.
Yeah.
But to a striking level of detail, though. Like, you could see shit on the walls and the items on the shelves and stuff.
That's actually the thing that the single thing that impressed me the most that I can comment on is, like, games have been good about this recently. Spider-Man did this thing with the technique where, without making an actual 3D environment inside, right? It kind of fakes it. It kind of looks like it is.
Yeah.
It's not a painted texture. And that was always a hard thing with open world games. They do the similar thing in here, but like, and I didn't play it again. I was just watching a playthrough, but I like scrolled back through this one part of the playthrough a bunch of times just because he panned by a office building. And it was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, that room has like a whiteboard and a bunch of stuff in it. And that room is like something different. And that room is different. And that it was like, holy shit.
Just seeing, like, we see buildings all the time, obviously, but like getting up close and flying by, like doing a flyby of like the different windows on like one floor in like a 100-floor building or something, like a skyscraper, you kind of get the sense for like just how much shit is actually going on in the world at any one time. And like, it's just cool to go by and see it all. I would love to like have that window in, not even in a creepy way or anything. I just want to see like life happening. Like, it's cool to go, like, people are having a board meeting and people are arguing and people are cooking and doing this and
little
that. And just
Sims,
to be able to like,
Sims,
I want a game where I could just fly around the world and see that shit. It was super cool.
A little
to fly
around. Ant farm, basically, of people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Our friends at Gun, whatchamacallit?
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, people. Are doing, it makes sense, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that's going to be multiplayer horror game, probably firmly in that same mold. But that's a smart, good get for them.
Yeah, because didn't they have some issue where they like lost the rights to the movie or something at some point?
Friday
the 13th. Making new content.
Yeah, there was like a thing with the rights holders, and it went through all this hell. And they're saying, I don't know if this is part of the marketing or this is part of the reason why, but they say like Texas Chainsaw Massacre based on the events of a true story. I don't know if they're doing some Lord of the Rings shit where it's like based on the book rather than the movie, or like, you know, there's some way of chopping up the rights that they have to say that. Who knows? But I'm sure they have it figured out and are not going to like fuck that up again. But whatever, you know, Friday the 13th was a huge giant smash, and then Dead by Daylight, of course, now is kind of like picked up where they dropped off. And they keep signing new game, you know, games for Dead by Daylight. They're doing The Ring. Did we talk about that on this? They're doing The Ring for Dead by Daylight. So somebody can play like Sadako, and there's the well, and that should be pretty cool. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak coming summer 2022. Makes sense. Sunbreak getting a new amiibo, still making them. Let's see, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, the fighting game coming out March 17th in the West. Thirsty Suitors new game from our friends at Outer Loop who did Falcon Age. Kind of looked like some Dream Daddy DNA maybe in there, but also some skateboarding and Annapurna Publishing. Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade coming to PC. It actually came to PC. Apparently runs like garbage.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Beefy machine to get that thing going.
Super beefy, apparently.
Or a PS5, if you can get one.
There you go.
Still hard to get.
Some other stuff. There's a new Star Trek game. Mobile version of, what's it called? Rocket League. Dying Light 2. Blah, blah, blah. But what about the awards? Where are you? Skip some of the biggest ones because they were up top here. Horizon Forbidden West. Hellblade 2 trailer, which, speaking of some of the best graphics I've ever seen, that fucking looked amazing.
That's one of the trailers we're really excited to watch. Noah played through Hellblade and just like totally loved it and can't wait for this game. So yeah, we're going to watch that over the break.
I'll be very curious what she... I was like... Because it shows playable sections.
I saw a small part, the like Attack on Titan thing where they had the giant thing in the background. Like that. It looked really cool.
Exactly. It's super Attack on Titan-esque. But I was like, oh, okay, this is like a cutscene. And it was like, and every once in a while, it'd look like it was playable. I was like, oh, shit, no, okay. Among Us coming to VR, that's pretty cool. The trailer was the worst fucking, most horrible, like, patched together thing, but whatever, it doesn't matter when Among Us is coming to VR. Elden Ring had like a lore trailer, which I was like, oh, this sucks. Why is there a lore? And I was watching it and like, actually blown away. I mean, it sucks that it's like a lore trailer rather than like a real new trailer, but it actually was really fucking got me super into it. This one, John, did you see Star Wars Eclipse trailer?
I saw parts of it. Yeah.
So this one, and you can watch people react to it on Twitch, because the trailer itself looks amazing. It looks like, oh, they're actually... I like thought to myself, literally, like, are they making Star Wars cool? Was Star Wars? That's right. Star Wars was kind of cool, wasn't it? And then at the end, it says like developer Quantic Dream, and everyone's like, crap. Everyone kind of feels bad about getting excited about it, and like, there's issues with their studio culture and some of their leadership apparently, and people can't feel like fully excited about it. There's like a big asterisk.
Same. Same. Yeah. I was like, I was excited too. And then I saw it was them and I was like, ah, cause like, I struggle with Detroit too. Detroit looks interesting to me, but knowing it's them and knowing the things they said about it and the things they got, you know, in trouble. I can't really feel good about this game.
It's really bittersweet because that trailer is really fucking amazing. Really well done. I mean, if it was a movie, it would be the best Star Wars movie trailer that they've done in years and years. But
sure.
Alan Wake 2, people are excited about. Little teaser.
That looks good. Trailer. Too. I only saw a piece of that, but that looked really nice. Yeah.
And how could I forget saving the best for last? Open world Sonic. Boom. Mic drop.
Open zone
Sonic. There you go. Sonic Frontiers. I'll be really curious if it is possible to make a Sonic game worth a damn and have it be open world. I mean, you could go fast, right? That'd be exciting to go fast through open world places, but like, then what? I don't know.
Super Sonic Go.
There was other stuff I remember. Wasn't there like there's a Wonder Woman game, right? Did we talk about that already? Did we pass that?
Monolith.
I just kind of skipped the superhero stuff. There was
I see
that and the Suicide Squad. They showed a bunch.
Right.
The Wonder Woman was just like a teaser, right? They didn't really show anything, did they?
I think so. Yeah.
Just a teaser.
I'm interested in Somerville, which is I guess it was the guy, one of the guys who made Limbo, like they're still making games, but then one of the original creators left and made his own studio. And so Somerville is like another, it's like got the Limbo DNA kind of thing going on.
Oh, yes. That did look really cool. That looked
really good.
I'd forgotten about that game. I think they showed it off at maybe Microsoft's E3. I'd forgotten about it. It looks amazing. It looks really fucking good.
I have high hopes for that game. Limbo and Inside, I talked about it last year, but I got really into those games, and now I'm like super excited for everything like it, and this looks pretty cool. So
Wonder Woman is being done by Monolith, which is an interesting detail. Lady D from Resident Evil Village won, what was it? Best
performance.
Performance, yeah. Which I would, even my feelings being known about Resident Evil, I think that that's... very richly served. She was great.
Yeah. Nobody lit up Twitter like she did.
That's right.
She did. She dressed the part for sure. Like the lady.
She looked so good.
Full effect. Yeah, she did.
Oh, she looked great.
Yeah. Sonic 2 movie shit. We can skip over that. Right. Nobody's going to be too sad about that.
But Jim Carrey.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
More Idris Elba.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about it.
We talked about the Cuphead performance.
What about they showed the new Plague Tale again, which
they
looks
did.
Good, looking better.
Looked very good. Yeah, I still need to. Ryan O'Donnell strongly recommended that. I went on my list. I think a Switch version came out. I was surprised. That the game looks really fucking good. And two,
it's worth playing on like PS5 now. They have like the next gen versions, the original. I mean,
yeah,
that game has, I would say, borderline bad gameplay. At the very best, it is like average and often shitty. But like everything else about it is a really high quality and like interesting. And so you kind of put up with it for it. But if they can kind of fix the mundane parts of the actual gameplay, I think this could be really, really, really interesting. So,
right.
The girl looks like Natalie Portman on the trailer too. I don't know. I don't think it's her, but.
F14 won best ongoing game. You guys will be very happy about.
Well earned.
Well, Tales of Arise won best role playing game.
At least they picked a role playing game this year.
so nasty. Metroid Dread won action adventure. They really spread them out this year. There was not like a Academy-esque like one game that cleaned up, or that happens at the Dice Awards a lot of years as well. Genshin Impact mobile game, Deathloop art direction, Elden Ring anticipated game. I think again, I want to say they had Pot Guy came out. That was whatever.
That was weird. Yeah,
you saw that. Okay, I was gonna say, if you don't know what we're talking about, then yeah. Final Fantasy 14 also won community support. Accessibility, Horizon, Forza Horizon 5, Resident Evil 4 won VR game, very richly deserved. Returnal action game, that was cool.
I was happy to see that.
Yeah. Score soundtrack, your boys, Nier Replicant.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That felt good.
Well, I'm super happy about it, but also is a little odd because, like, you know, it's a remake of a soundtrack from 12 years ago, so I think they're... I'm glad that it won, but it should have won 12 years ago. I guess there was no Game Awards back then.
It has Automata soundtrack in it as well.
That's
Automata.
True. Well, the game does, yeah.
Can we settle this once and for all? Which
you
is
say
it?
Tomato. I say Nier Automata.
But shouldn't you know the official real pronunciation?
I mean, the katakana is Automata. So, but you know.
But how, I know but that's, some people, that doesn't necessarily tell you where the accent goes in English, though, right? Is it?
Well, that's up to you, the English speaker.
No.
I say automata because it's the closest to automaton.
Yeah.
Which, it's not automaton, right?
Yeah.
It's automaton. So
automata.
Automata. Do, 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 do.
GIF. Okay. And then if there was a big winner, it would be It Takes Two, which won Multiplayer Game of the Year and Overall Game of the Year, which is a pretty big surprise upset. And the what's his name, Joseph guy, was surprisingly contained. Maybe just
was he
surprised? No, yeah, just like very super brief, normal, tasteful award.
I mean,
reception.
He's growing up.
Everyone was probably like, "Damn it!" Like Jeff Healy and stuff were like, "Fuck!" I thought he was gonna like take a shit on stage, or, like literally take a shit on stage, or like, you know, that he would like call out, you know, whatever. Who knows? But
I mean, his undies were hanging out of his jeans, and
that's the style kids do these days, Tina.
Oh, I'm not young enough to get it, I guess, since I'm old. But I also enjoyed how he was like, kids are cool. If you don't have any, you should get some.
No, that was a good line. Yeah. It's like
it was really like that was a pretty endearing moment.
Yeah, that was good. So yeah, congrats. I know that they announced to all the winners and to the Game Awards itself announced 65, 85 million.
85 is a number billion, I think I saw.
Million. Yeah. A lot. The YouTube video has like 4.5 million on its own, which it did. It's just really, it's always seemed like this, but this year more than ever before. It's just like all anybody's talking about that whole day, that one day at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a little mini E3 in December, and the world is better for it.
Indeed.
What else happened? Any other news that popped up?
That Final Fantasy VI delay.
Sure, let's talk about that. Go for it, Gabe.
John wanted to talk about it, so I was just setting him up.
I mean, you literally just said the news.
Final Fantasy VI.
All right, delayed to when? Pixel. Maybe it would be good to say
February.
They said February, right? Yeah, the Pixel remaster for FF6, which was supposed to be out in 2021, the last of the six Pixel remasters, was delayed till February. They showed a couple screenshots of it in Famitsu last week, and it looks really good. Like they showed that. The opera scene, and it looks different. Like it looks almost like really? Octopath Traveler different. Like they added detail and pulled the camera out a little. I'm not sure what's going on there, but like I'm really interested to see if there's a lot of that or maybe just a couple of the kind of big famous moments or something.
How is the font?
The font is garbage.
It's still the same one. I didn't know.
Well, it was Famitsu, so it was the Japanese font. So
I will check that out though. I'm really curious.
It's interesting. Also, they showed the scene in the beginning, you know, the famous scene in the beginning with the Magitek walking through the snow.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing because it somehow looks like the original game and yet also looks like modern. Like it's hard to explain, but
the cliffs
it just
aren't just flat on the ground anymore. Probably mode 7, the cliffs that they're walking past are probably at least
right. It just looks so good, but it manages to look the way you remember it, only, you know, good. Like
that's good. That is a hard, what is it? Road a hoe? What's the expression? There's some expression.
Hard road hoe?
That's hard. That's hard to do. It's a hard balance to strike.
Right. It's a hard road to hoe.
I think that's it, right? Is that not it?
That's what they say in the farms. Yeah, sure.
That's where I grew up.
I'm waiting for the console versions, I think. I mean, I've played them on Steam, and it's awesome, but I'm sure it's coming to console, and I'm sure they were, after all the complaints
Steam
at this point,
Deck.
I'm sure the fonts will be fixed.
Breakbust out Steam your
Deck
Steam
is,
Deck.
Where is Steam Deck?
I got one.
Steam Deck is...
I got one.
Yeah, you work on it. That's why. I could get one to work on it, but I want my own.
Yes, you could get one to work on it. That's what I'm saying. You're a publisher.
I know. Throw your weight around.
Come on.
That and the play date is delayed, and my analog. I was in the fucking Q4 group for analog. I'm very upset.
Oh,
about that.
Yeah, that was going to be your nickname was going to be related to that. Do you want to talk?
B.
Do you want to talk about that? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm unhappy about it, but there's nothing to complain about. I guess it came out. You know, they opened up pre-orders again for the Analog Pocket, a device I have no need for at all, other than that the FOMO is just like too strong, and I therefore must own it
very much so, because
I can literally there's nothing you can put on that I can't play on something else I already own, so I don't know why I want it so bad. But
John, I mean, look at 99% of things that you buy, and like if you take that tack from them, there's no reason for you to buy fucking half of the shit that you buy. So of course
it's another
I am shocked though. What happened? How do you always hell or high water, even if it comes down to like begging on Twitter or whatever, you end up with day one. You're there. Yeah. You're posting the pictures of where. What happened with the analog? Where that?
This is the first one that I think I ever missed. Either I slept through it or I was out or something and I just missed the original. I forgot about the original pre-order and I missed it. I was going to, but.
Okay.
So this one though, literally the pre-orders opened at, it was 1 a.m. our time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sync world clock thing or whatever, like literally 59 seconds, zero, hit the button. There's the page, hit the button, put it in the cart, go to order it. Like within 15 seconds after the turn of the hour, I was in the cart ready to check out.
Wow.
But then it tells you, like, you have to wait. It's like, you know, please wait. And I had to wait, like, 5 minutes. Like, and, like, by the time I got through, you know, I was, like, I could tell from a friend of mine in the U.S. who got in at the same time as me but also got through his order in, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He was, like, 18,000 people ahead of me in line. So, you know, they probably made less than 20,000 or something for the first group of people. And I got in Group B, which is, like, Q4 next year, like – I don't care
group
that
A
much
is Q1, right? Group A
is Q1. Yeah.
The difference between that, whatever, probably a second, or probably because he was in the U.S., this friend.
That's what I'm guessing. I don't know anybody in Japan. I would love to know if you're listening and you're in Japan and you got in Group A, like hit me up. I want to know because I don't know anyone in Japan who got in Group A. And so I was almost wondering if it prioritized, you know, Western, like because they're in the U.S., maybe it prioritized people in the U.S. or something. I don't know.
Tweet at the show because if they tweet to you, then you just see it and then promise to bring it up in the show and then never do and forget about it. So
right. The other thing too is tweet at the show. The other thing too is that they, you know, you were able to put two in your cart, and I didn't because I wanted to be a good human being and I only got one. But if you did put two in and you got in Group A. My Twitter is John TV. You know where to find me. Let's talk.
There it is. Now it begins. Well, now that you can get like, you know, $3,000 for them or whatever fucking ridiculous shit. I don't know. People might not be as.
Nah, it's true. I need somebody with a pure soul. It's Christmas Eve. Come on, people.
I mean, I will say, you know, people do this favor for you. Maybe you do a favor for them. So you're a man in a position to do a lot of favors. So people should think about
Japan,
it.
Japan only blow up doll for whatever comes out. There I'm going to be waiting in line for you at 1 a.m.
So. Those pillows aren't going to, character pillows aren't going to buy and ship themselves.
But yeah, seriously though, I really do want it, but I mostly want it actually for stuff like the Lynx, like things that I actually didn't own before. And so for Game Boy and stuff, I got a Game Boy player, on a GameCube hooked up to my TV. I have a GBA SP 101, you know, with the nice screen. Like,
it
does look
striking though. Like it does look like, I mean, even I kind of want one and, I don't have any time to play this shit, but like, even I kind of want one. Like it takes really good pictures. It's like hard to take a bad picture of that screen.
Sure.
And you're so used to seeing all the different, even the like quote unquote, you know, better, good screen Nintendo handhelds. You're so used to seeing them different levels of washed out or like a bad angle or whatever. Excuse me. That screen is just like so crisp and clear and bright and like just, it looks really good. So I get it. I get why people are so, excited about it. It just sucks that they just can't make enough. They can't make enough fast enough, which I guess is increasingly becoming a thing now. But
whole, I mean, the COVID thing we were talking about earlier, I was talking to someone today about like vinyl records and like the wait to make a vinyl record is like 9 months or something now.
It's
like
crazy.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy too.
Just production on everything is kind of in the shitter.
Yeah,
moment,
including this podcast. Should we wrap it up there? Is that a good way to, to wrap up the podcast?
We're not going to do like a lightning round.
Oh, we could do a lightning round. What's the lightning round about?
Lightning round, everyone's games of the years.
Mm.
Game of the year. No, we were talking about doing game of the year. I feel like. That's worthy of a little bit longer discussion, though.
Like, okay.
I don't even know if I need to know in advance that we're going to talk about it because I have.
we were going to ask you. I meant that we were going to ask you before the podcast started, but totally forgot. Yeah, let's save that. Tina, you might not be on our next podcast. You were saying, right? Do you want to do yours? I sound like you want to get something off here.
Well, no, it's mostly just I've had a tweet in my drafts for weeks, but I didn't want to spoil my own game of the year.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting to tweet this tweet.
That's some grade A content, too.
We know it's Pokemon Unite, so.
Let's save it.
All right.
Let's save it. We don't want to put it at the ass end of this.
She clearly wants to tweet it.
Building up the anticipation. I see how it is. That's right. It's all right.
This is the tease. This is the teaser for it. Might be two episodes from now. Oh, yeah. Gabe has been threatening this, like, fabled blog post that he's going to put up, apparently.
Whoa, are you going to bust out the livejournal.com there? Or what's going on?
You know it. What's the... GeoCities. Thank you. Angel Fire. We're going there.
Oh, RIP GeoCities. I had a bunch of GeoCities websites. Those were so much fun.
Me too. Dig those up on the Wayback Machine or whatever.
They don't exist anymore. It's just not there.
Yeah.
GeoCities got fully wiped. When I was in like grade 7, we had an assignment where we had to make a website with GeoCities. It was like a creative, creative That's writing kind of tech UX thing. Class. Sure. And oh boy, I fell down a deep, deep hole. I made a bunch of like Zelda fan sites and shit. It was great.
Oh my god, that sucks that those aren't around anymore.
If I were a smarter person, I would have just like gone, because GeoCities getting taken off the internet was like a pretty big news story at the time. So like, if I were smart, I would have looked up my websites and like taken screenshots of them, but the memories remain.
When I was home, going through my various junk, I found like printed out like emails and like posts from like CompuServe. Like, so my first like entrance on the internet, which is like probably 1994 or something like that, was CompuServe. And there were like these two official video game forums on CompuServe. I've told the story before, probably over the years, but one of them was called VidGame, like VidGame, and one was called VidPub, VidPub. And VidGame was for just like fans of video games. And Jeff Keighley worked there, actually. He was like a sysop. And then VidPub was for the video game publishers, like, you know, would like officially come on. And I was a sysop there. And I have this like printout from CompuServe from the first E3. And it's like from CompuServe, like posting about, hey, it's E3 or whatever. And like, go to VidGame to hear Jeff Keighley talk about blah, blah, blah. Or go to VidPub to hear me talk about, like, you know, whatever's going on at E3. Wow. And it's like super bizarre thing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I still have it. Yeah, I printed out emails like in 1995. So I have like old emails to people talking about like I have these emails between this friend I made in Japan at the time. I have no idea how did I make a friend in Japan in like the mid-90s, but like who like would buy books like strategy guides and stuff and send them to me. And we talk about the games he played and like how much Japanese he knew and stuff like that. And I'm just like,
wow,
this like eager kid, like, oh man, you're living my dream life.
Well, I'm sure it was through CompuServe or whatever. So is a Westerner living in Japan, basically?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. You should share some of those on the Twitters.
I have it now. I sent all that shit to me, so it's in my house somewhere.
Maybe they're just going to be a bunch of blacked out pages because everything's going to be redacted.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Well, if people want to watch and wait for that sort of things, where can people find you on the Twitter, John?
Oh, wow. We're going there. JohnTV, JohnTV, which is the Twitter address that you follow and DM when you want to do a good deed today, tomorrow, this Christmas weekend.
Got that analog pocket burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, you don't have to give it to me. You can just sell it to me at cost, but you know, it's just a thing you could do. Santa will be proud.
Or you could message me at Mark McD and laugh and mock or somehow pretend that you're going to do this thing with John and send him like a fart in the mail somehow. Through that technology where he opens it and it not only makes a fart sound, but actually smells like a fart. Something like that. If you wanted to do that, I would be curious to hear about it. Tina, what about you?
I'm at Tina Butts with two T's and a Z. And
what kind of content should people be sending towards you and your Twitter in this holiday break?
I don't know. I'm putting on the spot now. What do I want to solicit from people? Pets getting in trouble during present unwrapping. like cousins follow... unwrapping things that they shouldn't be, or like cats playing in the wrapping paper, that kind of thing, like a cat wearing a ribbon.
That's good stuff. Going. Do you,
content. Go ahead, Mark.
Do you follow Cats with Jobs Twitter account?
I absolutely do. Did you see their admin reveal lately?
No. What does that mean? Oh.
So admin reveal is when a themed account, the person who runs it finally actually like posts a selfie and is like, this is who's behind this account.
Oh, okay.
And the admin reveal is a picture of a laptop sitting on a bed with a teeny tiny little kitten in front of it. And it looks very stressed out. It's real That's cute.
God bless you.
Have you guys seen that video? God, what was the opening? There's a dude like sitting on his floor and he's opening a video game console. It was a PlayStation 4 maybe or something. And he's like, yes. And he screams really loud. And then his cat like freaks out and just fucking swipes him and like almost cuts his ear, like his whole like huge gash on the side of his face. The horror, like he goes from pure joy to like horror. It's this great meme. I got to find it. But like, yeah, those kind of videos that Tina's after are great.
I think we have holiday our show image somehow.
I'll find it because Noah shows it to me like every time it comes up on like TikTok or something.
Do
like,
show it it's to great. Me. Yeah, I would like to see that.
I'll find it. It's good.
And finally, Gabe, we already went over what kind of content people should send to you at the top of the show. On. But one more time for the cheap seats, your Twitter account.
I am at Gabriel De Leon. If you would like to.
And, yeah. Go for it.
If you would like to, you can find us on our homepage, 8-4.jp, or our second home, giantbomb.com. You can leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to listen to the show. And finally, if you want to help John out, you can also message at 84play.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you.
I have legit. I this is an announcement I'm going to make on the show. You guys don't know this. What is that, Gabe?
It's my Christmas tree for the year. It's my apartment's tiny.
That's very nice.
Good thing this is a visual podcast.
Yeah, it's like a paper craft Merry Christmas tree.
Yeah,
Yuletide.
It looks pretty sad. So. I am going to be getting a office across the street because we're having a second child. Woo! And the Whoa. Podcast is the most important what? Thing in my life.
What? Yeah. Wait, yes,
that's right.
More naked kids. Yay!
Oh my God. Right.
More naked kids are going to be running around here and screaming in the background and stuff. Thank you. So,
Boy.
Yeah.
Are you serious about the office? You're getting this?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's because of this podcast, because it's the most important thing in my life. It has nothing to do with my job and being able to stay sane and, not turning our living room, turning our living room back into our living room and not my office. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's this podcast, and, I can't have naked baby screaming and making Gabe's life harder, but it's a perfect excuse to ask people for money, I think.
that could have been a Patreon tier there, man.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe there's some kind of gold producer, super executive producer level where you can come and visit the studio where I will not be. Well, when you come visit, but you can just see it. you pay enough, maybe you could spend the night there. I don't know, who knows? It's haunted.
Sleep in my creepy building security.
What's the highest Patreon tier you can pay for anyway? The acoustics might sound different, but hopefully there will be less background noise and what have you. It should be a good thing for the podcast. I don't know. We'll see.
Is it also literally across the street, or you just?
I can literally see. I'm gonna buy walkie talkies and give one to my wife, and so we have an easier way of just communicating. It's literally across the street. I can see it from my window.
That's awesome.
Assuming I get the one that I'm going to get. It's a good old one room. They call them in Japan. Studio apartment. It is fucking small,
Is it really old, or is it new, or like what?
It's amazed. Actually pretty new, but it's small. That's awesome.
Is it one of those one rooms that's just like a little square tatami room without like a shower room or a kitchen or anything?
It's not tatami. It's got a quote kitchen. It's got like a little slot where a small refrigerator could go, and like one burner and like a tiny. It's a classic one room.
That's awesome.
Which, by the way, have you guys heard the Perfume song One Room Disco? It's a good song. Check that song out if you haven't ever. It's a interesting song about coming of age in Japan.
Fun little Tokyo Metropolis. On the podcast. Who would have thought it?
Full of surprises. It's Christmas. Let's give the people something for Christmas.
Give them some perfume.
Bear with me for a couple weeks while we get that shit sorted out, but maybe nice. I'll even like get some of that acoustic foam. It's a small enough room that I could even like maybe it'll be like really sounding, and I'll sound awesome.
Wouldn't but you cool? know that it's not going to sound perfect until you get some like obnoxious LEDs and line all the corners.
Gotta do all that shit. I gotta just trick out my kit here, get the liquid cooled, get the the fucking gaming chair that looks like it got ripped out of a, like, you know,
right, like the Roy
Formula style. One car or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Those terrible racing. Fucking ugly fucking chairs. I don't know why do all gaming chairs have to look, all of them have to, is it not possible to make a comfortable chair that doesn't look like it came out of a fucking like F1 race car? Like,
have you considered that maybe F1 race cars are just like really comfy?
But I'm sure that is a viable comfort solution. I'm just saying, isn't there a second also comfortable shape for chairs to possibly take? Like, I don't know.
Now I'm wondering if like the seats in rockets, like actual astronaut chairs, are like also just F1 chairs.
I have been told if you want a chair, the ones to go for are the ones used by air traffic controllers, as they have an incredibly stressful job.
And they have to sit their asses there and not get up. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I guess we'll find that out. I mean, I have a good chair. I have a good solid chair. Don't get me wrong. But you do wonder.
Joins us on the podcast every episode.
Maybe that's a Patreon tier. You could sponsor our chairs that we don't broadcast. You can't see in any way, but you know that we're sitting on them during the podcast.
We could just put one on a stream and just leave it, like, let people watch the chair by itself.
That's the video.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be a P.O. box where people can outfit my new office/podcast den or something.
You're gonna get an Xbox.
We'll look into it.
Mark?
We'll look into it. I actually probably would if they sold them here. They do not sell them here, right? I do need a small, like a mini fridge. So Xbox, if you're listening, I'm for sale. I'm desperate and for sale. So until 2 weeks from now, I guess that'll about do it. Happy holidays. Yay. And more importantly, from the Japanese perspective, Happy New Year also. Yeah. And we will be back. We're going to try to record one with a very special guest, very special friend of the show. We'll leave that for next episode. I forget if we teased it last time, but
I don't think we did.
If we did, people hopefully forgotten about it by now. thank you for supporting the podcast all year. If you want to get us something, give us the gift of love by spreading the word about the podcast to a friend or a teacher or a medical professional in your area.
The guy at Analog in charge of the order.
There you go. Just go out. Random people like that. You work at Analog. Maybe a box falls off a truck. Maybe it ends up at the Dayport Towers, and they're distributed to all the podcast members. I don't know. Just spitballing here. That's going to do it. So until 2 weeks from now, next year... who wants to take us out?
Why is Seinfeld, though. It's Christmas. They don't even know. They celebrate Festivus.
They celebrate Festivus. We should have done the airing of grievances. We should have done a podcast airing of grievances. We fucked up.